Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, we're diving into the flow of an e-commerce website and how this is really important to the movement of the visitors through the website. Often we get so focused on a single page that we don't actually see how people move from page to page. And this can have a significant impact on your conversion rate and the revenue your store generates. So let's get started. Hi, Ian, how are you?
Hello, Mark. Excellent. Good to hear you. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Yeah. We decided today that we wanted to do a call on e-commerce website flow. And the reason that's important is because you need to see how people are moving across the website. So the website needs to fit the flow of the buyer when they're buying these particular products. And it kind of throws out the window the idea that there is one size fits all for websites, because obviously people buy things in different ways. So we've written down a few points. And the first one we were going to cover was the fact that people don't buy on their first visit and how that affects the website. So do you want to take that in?
Yeah. So, I mean, essentially, that's the main point, that people don't buy on the first visit. So, you know, you have to understand that they are, especially if it's a considered purchase and they need to do a bit more research, they're going to potentially come to your site, have a look around, and then go away back into Google, perhaps look at some competitors, and then come back. And that might happen multiple times. So that's the first realization. They can buy on their first visit, but often they don't, particularly with a more complicated purchase. So first of all, you've got to recognize that. I mean, it can take up to five times, you know, for them to come back. And you can see this in Google Analytics very easily. Just look at your time path in your settings. You can see number of days or number of visits before they actually transact. And so that's essentially the realization. Now, I think then, but if you know that, and then you look at the fact that it's where they're landing is interesting. And if we go back in time, probably 6 years ago, everybody was landing on the homepage and then going nice and dutifully onto the category page, and then nice and dutifully onto the product page, adding it to basket. So by the time they actually got to the product page, you'd warm them up. You know, you'd taken them through the homepage, category and product. Whereas now, product page is the new landing page. So that's the first page they're seeing. You know, they might not know who you are. So that's why the product page is so much more important than it once was. And it's consequently why the bounce rate tends to be so high. I mean, that's a result of the Google shopping and Facebook product ads taking people straight to the product page. So it's the first page they see, which is why it has to work so much harder.
Well, I've got some stats on. So basically, when I look in Google Analytics, if you've got a website that you can see how many visits, how many buys are made in the first visit. So if they're made in the first visit, If you know, most average sites have about 70 to 80%. Usually, about 80% of the purchases in Google Analytics say that the buyers are on the first visit. Now, if you've got something more than that, even less than that, let's say 60%, then that means that you've got more longer spread out buying cycle. So, if you're selling furniture or something where there's a bit more of a competitive element where they're going off and doing prices and things like that, so you can look at that stat. Sometimes people are really, really massively skewed towards like 90% of people coming
And I would even say that if it is 90%, that means that people aren't coming back. So at the same time, you might think, oh, that's good, everybody's buying on the first visit, but it might be the fact that people just aren't coming back. So therefore, you do need to get them back. Mm. So therefore, it's the kind of idea that you might need to work on your remarketing.
Well, you often see that, don't you? You say, oh, it's great, everyone buys on my first visit. Well, actually, it's probably because they're not coming back at all.
Yeah, I mean, actually, website should be at 80% at least, because there's always going to be something that should come back. But it depends on what people are selling. And then the second point you were talking about is the landing page. So, you know, the majority of big e-commerce sites are now driving traffic to the product page through Google Shopping, because that's become a huge one. But there are some sites, some smaller sites I'm seeing, like the one I'm working on you for this weekend, is they're driving a lot of the traffic's coming from SEO. So that typically the landing page is the category page. So yeah. That's where they're landing, and there's like a 40% on the homepage, and then about 60% on the other pages. So include mostly category pages. So what we're saying is we need to understand where people are hitting the site, because where that landing page is going to be the first impression, and the first impression is very important.
Yeah.
But as you scale, I mean, you would see anybody doing more than 2-3 million is going to see product pages as their biggest landing pages. Yeah.
Because that's where the paid traffic is driving it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Because so I don't think you can really get that high without Google Shopping. I mean, it's a channel. No. It's a very, very important channel now. Yeah. I mean, obviously, some people have grown very much on Facebook advertising, Instagram advertising, but they're still then they're mopping up the sales with Google Shopping from the demand that they're generating.
Mm. Well, I think you've got to look back at those stats that we always talk about, you know, the conversion rate. So if we're saying that, you know, on average, if you're recruiting heavily in your business, we would probably expect a conversion rate of up to 2%, which means 98% of people that come onto the site don't buy. So that's really significant. And then if you've got a healthy house file and they're buying quite regularly, you'd expect a conversion rate of up to 5%. I mean, for some businesses like contact lenses and things like that, where you've got a really good lifetime customer value, you get a conversion rate of, you know, 15%. So essentially,
there's a story about travel insurance. Guess what the conversion rate is for a travel insurance? I was working on a conversion rate project for a travel insurance website, and I'll just tell you, it was like 60% conversion rate on travel insurance website. And I was like, well, if I get them 10%, that's going to be so hard, because I'm actually having to convert, take it from 66% conversion rate. But if it's like 2% conversion rate, you're adding 10%, that's only like, you know, 2.2, which is, you know, significant, but like, it was so hard because everybody's already going there to convert. Anyway, I digress, but there are some websites out there that just have a ridiculous conversion. Not typically e-commerce sites.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Well, essentially, so if you break that, I mean, most of our clients that we work with have a conversion rate ranging of between 1 and 5%. So if you look at those stats, now, essentially, the landing pages, that's why we like talking about the landing pages, because it's saying that if you focus on that landing page, you'll get the biggest bang for your buck. Because if most people are getting there, it's really important to optimize it. So it's things like the product page, for example, you know, it should not be bouncing at more than 60% on average. So that's really key. So you've got to get that right. You know, you need an add to basket of 10%, basket to checkout of 55, and a checkout to order of 85. So that's where you've got to start. And so the flow typically looks like this, that somebody would first land on the product page. And that product page, you know, should be bouncing less than 60%. And often it can be 85%, which is bad if it's coming from Google Shopping. So they'd have a look at the product page. And the first thing the product page has got to do is it can't be a dead end page. So the reason why people would be bouncing back into Google is if it's a dead end page. So if they're looking for something like a red rug, that's why people like Wayfair do the Google Shopping landing page. So they're giving people a lot more choice. So it's a modified page for that new visitor, because they know the temptation to bounce back If they took them to one Red Rug product page with no other Red Rugs on it, they're going to go back into Google. So that's quite key. And then once we've got them, so we have to show other related products and related categories on the product page. That's the main thing you've got to do before you even talk about the desirability of products, offer architecture, anything like that, is you've got to show them products that we think they're interested in. And then you can start to do that. They don't even care about desirability of product until they've seen the right product first. Then we can start adding all those things in. So then let's say they find the product they like eventually, and we take them through our process, which is desirability of product and the offer architecture and all those things that we talk about, and they add it to basket. And then our remarketing kicks in. And our abandonment process and emails and our remarketing on Facebook and our emails go out, and they click then on to the basket page from the email. And the basket page in a lot of sites, I mean, if you're on Shopify or Magento, people tend to leave them as default, which is just awful. So the basket pages is really, really a really poor experience. So you'll find that if your basket to checkout statistic is, I mean, bearing in mind it should be 55% on average, if you find that's low, which we often see that it is, then it'll be primarily because your basket to checkout step is low. And often the basket page, when you look at a lot of sites, is just blank. It's literally just product on a page with a price. You know, there's no reason to buy now. There's no anxiety squashing things. There's no urgency. There's no scarcity there. And all those things can be added on really, really easily. And so I think that's important. The sale is done, because the equivalent, though, is like you being in a shop and you're looking at a dress for £400. And it's like going up to the shopping assistant who showed you this dress. And they basically just say, right, come on, you're buying it. What? You know, get out.
Yeah.
It's so unfriendly,
isn't it? A lot of people try and skip the basket step because they go, oh, well, you can see that they've added to the basket. Why? If we just make it easier, which is normally the case, if you just make something easy, more people do it. But if you imagine someone walking around a physical shop with a basket on their arm with stuff in it, and then the shop assistant walking over with the contactless thing saying, here you go, have it. Have it. And it's like, I'm not ready yet.
I haven't decided which
one I want. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this process.
It's funny, isn't it? There's a notion in e-commerce that, you know, having a checkout step of three steps is better than a four step. And a four step is better than a five step. I.e., they're trying to make it as fast as they possibly can. But what we've realized is the shopping basket is a vital step in the convincibility of buying online, particularly if you're only selling to these people once or twice a year. So the average lifetime customer value is 1.2 a year.
So on average, only
1.2 times people buy only 1.2 times a year. Why are you trying to make this a ridiculously quick experience? They need to be indulged and massaged.
But it's also about by the time they actually hit the button, they need to have confidence that they need to have all the confidence that they can do that. And it's difficult to do that if you take them straight to the checkout page, because then they're going to go.
Well, we see that a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
That people are skipping the basket stage. We saw it on a site this morning. We were doing some analysis from a site, and we were saying, right, first thing we want to do is take you to the basket rather than take them to the checkout. A lot of people do that, and because we know we've tested that so many times.
You can actually see that. If you look at the average amount of add to baskets per session, and then actually look at the amount of products bought. So like, you might find that the average add to baskets per session is 1.8 or 2, but the average quantity is only 1. So it's obvious that people are adding stuff to the basket to decide later which one they actually want to buy.
Use it as a dumping ground. They use it to save it for later.
Yeah,
you know, they don't add things to basket because you know, they know exactly what they want to buy. You know, they add it to basket to then decide what they want to get rid of after.
Yeah.
And especially with fashion and clothes. And so what happens is people are adding to basket and then they go straight to the checkout. And what do they see? They see a horrible form with loads of fields in and nothing about delivery and anxiety and all the reviews and the social proof and the urgency, the scarcity, all those amazing things that we know work really, really well. We've never seen a site perform better by taking people straight from the product ag to basket event straight to the checkout and bypassing the basket. You really, really should look at that step because it's a really important step down the journey, isn't it? So don't skip the basket page.
The only time I could imagine it working would be if it was a very transactional website and it was a very repeat purchase and it was like someone like getting some building materials and it was like, oh, I need to get the same thing that I bought last time. I always buy it and I'll just go on and I'll just top up.
Yeah.
You know? So they don't need to, there's no consideration. They're already sold and the website is just a transaction, kind of like, yep, I need another one of those. Thank you. Or contact lenses I think might work for the repeat, same as well. Or buy the same
repeat
ones.
Yeah, for repeat business, then I think that is applicable. But for new time buyers, and remember, you know, online is like walking into the Trafford Centre and every shop in that Trafford Centre is selling the same thing as you. So you've got to really make sure that there's reason to buy from you. And once you get all over those objections, then
on those big repeat ones, those transactional ones that you're repeating, there's no anxiety, is there? Because they know exactly what they want. They're completely happy that they're going to get exactly what they want.
So it is making it fast.
It's anxiety. So if there's any anxiety, you can't do it. Which is on most purchases, there is anxiety because the people are worried, aren't they? The other point here we've got is how the quantity of X flows. So like a website like Just Ingredients, who sells herbs and spices, is going to be very different to a website that sells, you know, like Forever Unique, for example, that sells dresses. So, you know, Forever Unique, they only ever sell one dress because who goes and buys two ball dresses for the same ball?
Yeah.
You just don't do it. Whereas Just Ingredients sell herbs and spices. You tend to buy, you know, four or five spices at once because you're like, oh, I can't be bothered just to go and get one spice delivered. That's ridiculous. So that really affects the flow of the website of what happens when you add something to the basket. You know, with the dress, you don't want to see buyers also bought, or you don't want to see related products. You know, they've pretty much put it in the basket, show them the basket page.
So take them straight to the basket.
Yeah, so that they then you can then work on them for the anxieties they're going to have about getting a dress delivered, which is about size, fit, delivery, and what happens if it doesn't fit or if it's not quite right. Whereas on herbs and spices, once they add, you know, paprika to the basket, then obviously, you know, you want to be showing them
And it's the same in a shop, isn't it? If you're in a shop looking at a dress for £400 and you like that one, and then the shopping assistant, you know, immediately tries to sell you something else, you'd be like, hang on, why are you trying to sell me? No, I don't want the white jacket, I want that dress. Come on, let's just, you know, you just wouldn't do it, so you've got to look at that. But you can take that
for dresses
further because,
sorry, for dresses, what I would do is, I would probably, like, there are upsells you could do with that dress. So, like, you're buying that black dress and there might be, a certain scarf that goes with it or something like that. But what I'd probably do is get that sale because that sale's, what, £300. It's really important to get. And then I'd do a post-purchase, upsell. Like, so we've got the authentication window over, like, 15 minutes. And then I'd try to sell them something after we've got the main purchase because it's so important to get the main purchase. That, you know, a scarf might be what, £40 or something like that. The risk is we might lose the first purchase if we start getting too fancy before we've got the actual main one. Whereas with a Just Ingredients site, you want to be doing the upsells and the cross sells and the related products when they add the basket.
And that's obviously the way to get the average order value up. And because I think if it's like a dress for £400, there's more anxiety, there's more risk. There's more things that the clients or customers worried about. Therefore, actually, you need to keep it simple. Which is, again, if you're in a shop, you know, and you're waiting to buy and you've got this £400 dress and someone comes over and says, oh, there's a pair of matching shoes for that over there. You go, oh, do I need the matching shoe? I'm not sure. Oh, I better put this. I won't buy this now. I'll come back. And of course,
exactly.
You're
adding confusion because they go, God, yeah, what shoes am I going to wear? Oh, are those shoes, I'm not sure if I got some shoes and I've got to say, if I buy those shoes, then this might not be the right dress. And it's like, stop it. Just let them buy the dress and then they can make that one decision. And then that's decision made. And then they'll buy everything that suits
that.
And they'll
buy everything because they love you and they have that period of cognitive dissonance where they want to believe that it was a right decision they've made. So they end up buying lots more after the post-purchase stuff. I think actually there's another factor to that story, which is the around the quantity, which is the quick buy on the category page. And you see that a lot, and this falls into the category of everybody seems to think that one site is fits all, that all e-commerce sites are the same, which of course we know is completely ridiculous. Like, you wouldn't have a shop on the high street that was laid out the same, someone selling tools, hammers and spanners, you know, hardware store wouldn't be laid out the same as a fashion store next to it. So it's the same online. So the quick buy on a category would work well for somebody like Just Ingredients, who are selling four or five items per order, because they want to see lots of things and buy lots of things quickly. And we've got loads of examples of that where that's what you've got to do. But again, you know, the average quantity per order is about 1.4 or 1.5, call it 1.5 items. And you can't have 1.5, but it basically means that some people buy two, some people buy one. So it's 1.5. And if they're only coming onto your site, again, going back to the average stat, 1.2 times every 12 months, why the hell would you have a quick buy on your category page? Because you're just hiding all of the amazing, wonderful things that your product page has. Lovely imagery, great reviews, frequently asked questions, all those anxiety things around delivery. You know, you must get them to the product page. Don't do a quick buy on the category. Where would that manifest itself? It would manifest itself in a higher bounce rate on the category.
I think what we said when we split tested quick buy was that people, you know, because it was there, or it's even quick view is when it comes and pops up in a window and it shows you the product. Quick buy is when you can add it to the basket on the category page. Now, both of those we split tested for this particular client and they came out lower. And the reason was because if you offer people quick view, they will use quick view. So therefore you're offering them a limited product page, and therefore it's not answering all their anxieties and their needs and wants from that product. And if it's, say, a men's shirt, which it was in this case, what actually happened was the conversion rate was low because they didn't have the confidence that shirt was exactly what they wanted. So you wouldn't want to use quick view on a page where people need to see the product and explore it to actually understand exactly what it looks like. Whereas you might want to use a quick buy, quick view if you're selling trade supplies like paint and cement and things that people know they've bought before, because
we're working with a client at the moment who's selling catering equipment, and these are customers who are buying probably 30 things per order every week. Like, they need a quick buy and a quick view and a quick shop. They're not going to go into each individual product page and go, yes, I need a spatula, add to basket, all right, now where's the bowl? Go back to find the bowl, go into the product page, click add to basket. That's ridiculous. For B2B people who are coming in buying the same thing, the main objective is to make that site as fast as it possibly can and to allow them to reorder what they reordered last time really easily. Whereas for consumer purchases, the big ticket items, it's completely the opposite. You have to indulge them with this lovely flow and get them to go into these little journeys, and you really want them to go down that path.
Yeah.
Completely different, isn't it?
you just got to be careful where you use it and where you don't use it. You know, if you were at the supermarket and those impulse buys, you know, a packet of sweets, Polar mints or whatever, you don't pick it up, read the ingredients and study it. You just put it in your basket. That's quick buy. Yeah. You could do that with that. Whereas if you're in a shop buying some paint for your fence, you have to go and study it and go, is this right for the type of wood that I've got? And how long is it going to take to dry it? You know, it's not an impulse buy. It's something that you need to understand if it's the first time you bought it. So just think sensibly about how people buy. And like I say all the time, the data is there in the numbers in Google Analytics. It will tell you how your buyers are buying. And you just need to create the website around the flow and their activities. Because
you can see that, can't you? You know, if you're looking at the basket page in Google Analytics, it will tell you the next page that they go to. So obviously you want it to be the checkout. But if you find that they're all going to the delivery page from the basket, think, hang on a minute, we don't want them to go there. But that information now needs to be on the basket page. And it's the same thing with the home page. You can start to see where they go after the home page, can't you?
Yeah.
And then, that needs to reflect. That needs to be reflected on the home page. If everybody's going to the women's trousers page and that is not on the home page, you need to go with the flow of the river.
So the
data's there. A lot of it can be automated. This is simple stuff. And obviously for people who are in the middle of a visit, they've already been to your site once, then you can tailor the home page to make it easier to find what they've been looking at.
And a persistent basket of carts as well. A lot of people you go to and it's deleted the cart and you think, well, that's stupid. I've got to go and do the whole thing again. And I bet a lot of people listening to this won't have even tested that to see whether that's, happening on their site. How long?
Well, that was something that Jeff, our friend Jeff at Amazon, good old Jeff, that's what he was saying. He said in Amazon has a lifetime cart. They said that if whatever you add to the cart will be there forever unless you remove it. And if it goes out of stock, it just says this item's no longer available.
Well, it emails you.
Cross-device.
It emails you and tells you something in your basket's now a cheaper price or it's about to go up in price or something like that. And it gives you an excuse to email people based on what people have in the basket.
Why would you remove a product from the basket? It's insane.
No.
And it's like, you know, this is off your fault setting in your e-commerce store.
Yeah, if you go on to a mid-season sale, if you want to go on mid-season sale, then you'd want to email everybody and say, the stuff in your basket is now 30% off. Did you realize? It's like, okay, thank you. You know, it's useful email, isn't it?
Totally. Totally. Yeah, so I think the first thing is to look at where the landing. Look at the landing pages and see what percentages of it is the product page. And then look at what category. And it typically is, most of the time now, it's going to be product page and home page. Because a product page is obviously going from Google Shopping or Facebook ads. And then a home page is going to be direct or brand in your existing customers or we're going to your home page. You'll get some category pages, won't you? But that's mainly for SEO. And that seemed to be something that was happening maybe more 8 years ago. And,
also
more around.
Well, you had search. Product and home. You had AdWords search campaigns, which typically took people to category pages as well. You know, people searching for, blue jumper or whatever. You'd take them to the blue jumper category, wouldn't you? So you'd drive it there. Whereas now people are searching on shopping for blue cashmere jumper and they're picking out a specific jumper they want to see. So it's just the way that paid traffic has changed as well. And also Facebook as well, like with the dynamic remarketing, that's taking people direct to products that people have viewed. And the remarketing services like Criteo, they do the same. So it's really changed down to product level and different flows, and that's what we're seeing. So
I think, and overall the stats that's changed, it's making the bounce rate go higher. That's what's happened. Ad to basket has gone lower because the bounce rate's gone higher on the product page. It's landing on the product page. Traffic might have gone up, but they'll be landing on the product page, bounce rate will go up, ad to basket rate will go down. And that obviously affects your conversion rate.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we all
really work on that.
We'll finish. We'll finish there. Yeah. About 28 minutes in. It's all good.
Okay.
So there's your flow. There's lots of things to work on there. Make sure your website fits the flow of your buyers and how they're buying. And the closer you can get to that, the more sales you will get, because there'll be less frustration. And when there's less frustration, they will use less of their willpower to come and buy something, which is obviously always good. Anyway, have a watch of the case study in the links below, and get on the email list so you can see the bonus content. And we look forward to speaking to you all next week.
Okay, bye.